This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Fall is one of my favorite seasons on the farm. From calving to harvest, it's a time to celebrate life on the farm and the results of months of planning and tending. Fall also brings another important tradition to the farmhouse, the return of college football. Fans love cheering their team on right down to the last second of the last play. The players and the fans keep giving it their all as long as there is still time left on the clock. Sometimes the most amazing victories or crushing defeats happen just as the clock runs down. It feels a lot like that last quarter of the game when it comes to the waters of the U.S. rule right now. Farmers have gotten some tough calls along the way, and we've come back strong in the fourth. But we cannot stop driving down the field until we have a win for clean water and clear rules. Clean water matters to all of us. From rural Minnesota down to downtown Atlanta, we all want and need access to safe water for ourselves and our families. For years, AFBF and others in agriculture have been calling for clean water and clear rules because we know it's possible to have both. Unfortunately, the Obama administration muddied the waters with its 2015 WOTUS rule. The EPA wrote an illegal rule that threatened farmers and ranchers with jaw-dropping penalties and even criminal prosecution for plowing or spraying a water of the U.S. But it was so broad and vague that a water of the U.S. could include most any land where water sometimes flows or ponds after a rain. The 2015 WOTUS rule didn't provide clarity, as the agency claimed. It was a pig in a poke, bureaucratic doublespeak designed to allow the federal government to regulate productive land use. Thankfully, several courts recognized the dangerous potential of the rule and blocked it temporarily. But those orders only apply in specific states, leaving farmers in much of the country still vulnerable to enforcement. The battle in the courts continues, and the Trump administration is hard at work to repeal the WOTUS rule and give all Americans the clean water and clear rules we want and need. But each move by the current EPA is tackled in court. Just last month, a federal district court struck down EPA's nationwide delay of the 2015 WOTUS rule, making it once again the law of the land in 26 states. Since then, several other courts have been asked to block the 2015 rule nationwide or at least in specific states. Today, farmers and ranchers in 23 states are subject to the confusing and unlawful WOTUS rule. For those farmers and ranchers, every small wetland, ditch, or ephemeral stream on their land is a regulatory landmine. That's one more layer of uncertainty for farmers in these already uncertain times. When it comes to waters of the U.S., the game isn't over. The outcome isn't certain, and our opponents would like to run out the clock. None of us can afford to sit passively in the stands, much less celebrate. AFBF will continue to press the administration to finally, once and for all, ditch the rule. We urge you to fight and cheer with us. If these months of blocking and tackling lead us to a future where our land isn't regulated like water, it will have been worth the effort. Net farm income is a comprehensive indicator of U.S. farm profitability for all crops and livestock and includes cash receipts from farming as well as farm-related income, including government payments and non-cash items like changes in inventories, economic depreciation, and gross imputed rental income minus cash expenses. The Agriculture Department's August 2018 farm income forecast provided the first state-level estimates of net farm income in 2017. During 2017, U.S. net farm income was projected at $75.5 billion, up 22% from 2016, but well below the record high experienced in 2013. At the state level, net farm income was the highest in California at $17.7 billion, up 23% from prior year levels. Following California was Texas at $4.5 billion, up 6%, and Iowa at $3.4 billion, up 4%. The top 10 states in terms of net farm income represented $43.8 billion, or 58% of total U.S. farm income. For the growth and renewed prosperity of agriculture, particularly with farm income on a downward slope, current trading relationships must be preserved and new opportunities for agricultural trade must be secured, the American Farm Bureau Federation said in a recent statement to the Senate Agriculture Committee. In the statement, Farm Bureau urged our trade officials to engage in discussions with our trade partners to resolve trade concerns before resorting to tariffs. Tariffs targeting our largest agricultural export markets have resulted in retaliation against U.S. farmers, ranchers, and agricultural and food businesses across the country. U.S. agriculture exported more than $140 billion in 2017, sending more than 25% of farm and ranch products to international markets. With many sectors of the agricultural economy dependent upon exports, farmers and ranchers are negatively impacted by the retaliatory tariffs many of the United States' top trading partners have put in place in response to tariffs imposed by the U.S. Activists have grown rich by suing the government and reaping billions of taxpayers' dollars, all in secret. The U.S. Department of Interior, however, has issued an order to curb this abuse of basic democratic processes and to open backroom deals to public scrutiny. AFBF applauds this overdue action. Interior alone paid out more than $4.4 billion in monetary awards under terms of 460 settlement agreements and consent decrees between January 1 of 2012 and January 19 of 2017. In other words, Interior paid out an average of more than $800 million a year while keeping key aspects of litigation secret. It's easy to see why so many outside observers fear an unaccountable bureaucracy cutting deals with activists. AFBF General Counsel Ellen Steen said the Department of Interior is shining light on a corner of government most people don't even know exists. Basic transparency demands that citizens know what their government is doing. When activists sue, they can tie up the government with dozens of frivolous claims, but still recover attorney's fees if a judge upholds even one solitary claim. The House Ways and Means Committee on Thursday approved a Farm Bureau-supported bill that would make permanent several important tax reform provisions that are set to expire after 2025. The Protecting Family and Small Business Tax Cuts Act of 2018 addresses bonus depreciation and estate tax, among other tax provisions. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, passed in 2017, reduced taxes for all businesses, but only the tax cuts for incorporated businesses operated as C corporations are permanent. The vast majority of farms and ranchers, however, file their taxes as sole proprietors, partnerships, or S corporations. Failure to make these provisions permanent will result in a huge tax increase. In addition, the uncertainty caused by temporary tax provisions makes the already tough business of running a farm or ranch even harder, AFBF President Zippy Duvall wrote in a letter urging committee members to support the bill. Agriculture remains one of the deadliest U.S. occupations, with fatality rates higher than mining and construction. The National Farm Safety and Health Week, the third week of every September, brings national attention to the importance of agriculture and promotes the health and safety of farmers and their families. This year, National Farm and Health Safety Week included a focus on mental health. The mental health of farmers is just as important to the more commonly known hazards like tractor rollovers, PTO shaft entanglements, and grain entrapments. The stressors associated with farming, especially during peak harvest season, can really take their toll on farm families, said Dr. Kanika Arora, an evaluator at the University of Iowa College of Public Health. To contribute to National Farm Safety and Health Week, visit tellingthestoryproject.org, a collaboration among the Midwest U.S. Agricultural Safety and Health Centers, where farmers share their personal accounts of incidents and near misses on their farms. Farm Bureau members from Pennsylvania were in Washington, D.C. last week talking with lawmakers about the need to reform ag labor laws. Julie Masser Bailey, Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Sturman Masser Incorporated, explained that the availability of labor is the biggest issue facing her potato farm. Bailey said they have a difficult time, just like many other operations, finding a stable workforce to help plant and harvest crops, as well as pack and distribute to all the grocery stores that they service. They have made a large investment in automation, but it still requires people. These are long hours because you have a short window in which you need to harvest, and it's difficult working conditions. The U.S. produces 16% of the world's cotton, and with over $5.8 billion in cotton exports, is the top cotton exporter in the world. In 2017, the U.S. imported a scant $3 million worth of cotton, resulting in a trade surplus of $5.8 billion in cotton. With lower cotton prices in recent years, Congress has allowed cotton producers to return to farm bill programs in the form of seed cotton. Other forms of U.S. support to cotton producers include maintaining quotas on some cotton products, as well as specific tariffs ranging from 0 to 31.4 cents per kilogram. China also employs measures to protect its cotton industry by using a quota system to change a 1% tariff on a limited quantity of cotton, while the rest is subject to a 40% tariff. However, U.S. cotton faces retaliatory tariffs of 26% for a limited quantity and 65% for the rest. In 2017, China was our second largest customer, purchasing $978 million in U.S. cotton. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.